every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast with Kurt Owen. For over 25 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live victoriously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. Today, Kurt Owen is continuing his teaching on knowing and believing the love of God and how knowing and believing He loves you can cause you to win every time. Let's listen in.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome back to Victory is Assured. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God. And one of the ways that we're trying to help you to believe the love of God is by watching Jesus and how He loved people when He was in the earth. And then beginning to develop, and then we want you to see yourself that way, see yourself being loved by Jesus that way, because He's no respecter of persons. And you can ask yourself this question: what can I expect, how can I expect Jesus to treat me if I make a mistake? And now, again, you need to go to KurtOwen.com, KurtOwen.com, and let us know, you can let us know that these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, certainly, but there's a bunch of material. In addition, there's not just the podcasts and everything there, but there's a bunch of other stuff that you can get a hold of that will help you with this. There's a free daily devotional. There's a lot of other free materials, and there's some other services where I've expounded on this to great extent, and that's all free. Our partners make that possible. And today's offering day on the broadcast, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end, but our partners, through their partnership, through you becoming a partner, you make it possible not only for you to have fruit in heaven and here on the earth, not only for God to give by your giving, give you something to multiply, but on the other side of it, it also helps change the lives of people all over the world. And you are helping us do that. Now, we're here in John chapter 8, and we're going to start again in verse 2. But remember what Hebrews says. Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. And so what that means is that when you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. And He actually said that. In other words, this is demonstrating the character that God has. So here we're in, again, verse 2. Now, early in the morning, He came again to the temple, and all the people came to Him and sat down and taught Him. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery," in the very act. So this just happened, right? Literally. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing Him, that they might have something to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger, and as though He did not hear. So when He had continued asking, they continued asking Him, He raised up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last, and Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst, because Jesus still is the sinless one. He can pick up a rock, okay? Now, the congregation is still there. Remember, this is all happening in church. And it says, when Jesus had raised Himself up, He saw no one but the woman. In other words, now this is personal. They might have regarded her as such, but Jesus sees her. He's not paying attention to the crowd. He's not paying attention to His disciples. He's looking at her personally to love her, to help her. Now, we still don't know if He's going to pick up a rock yet, right? Because that's not established. But He asked her this question, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" Okay, so immediately we understand that Jesus is not the one that's doing the accusing. And Jesus is not on the accusing side of things. So if people are accusing you and saying it's God, it's not. Now, an accusation, I think we need to be watchful about this, because there's times you need to be confronted when you're wrong, right? I have people around me that if I make a mistake, I have the freedom to say, Pastor, I want you to pray about this. I don't agree. But that's not necessarily an accusation. I tell you what, let's get down onto this. He says, has no one condemned you? Okay? So he's saying, I'm not an accuser, and is there anyone who condemns you? So evidently, he's not in favor of accusations and condemnation. Okay? And she says, no one, Lord. Now, this is the first time she's speaking. Up to this point, all of this kindness that she has been shown by Jesus. Now remember, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And does Jesus condemn her and throw her away and say, well, you made your bed, you're going to have to lie in it? No. What does Jesus do? He saves her. Why? Because he's a savior. That's what he does. See, when we've gotten into trouble, if we would yield to Jesus, it's amazing what he would do in our lives. He doesn't say, people have said, well, God just hates sin. He won't look upon sin. Then why didn't he just kill her? Why didn't he just say, hey, guys, you are right. This sin-ridden woman just gets rock. I'll throw the first one. I can't even look at her. Get out of, or even after he saved her life, get out of here. You disgust me, you dog. After everything, that's not him. And then, because of his kindness, she calls him Lord. It is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Now, the truth of the matter is, she still doesn't know whether he's going to pick up a rock or not. So he wants to make it clear where he's at. And Jesus spoke and said, and Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Now, this is a woman that was brought out of the bed of adultery, and he doesn't condemn her. Now, I've been told, I've seen people line up at funerals of gay people, and they shout, and they say all these terrible things. They've said, they've talked about God's judgment on the United States and all this condemnation. Well, here is the express image of the Father talking to a woman caught in the very act, and he's not condemning her. And already this love is provoking her to a change. She is calling him Lord. She has acknowledged this love, this kindness that she has seen, and she is placing herself at his mercy. You are my Lord. But he could still pick up a rock. So what does he say? I don't condemn you. Now, this might sound strange to you, because you might say, well, God is just, he's so angry with me, so upset with me, he's condemning me over what I've done wrong. No, that's either the devil or that's your own conscience. But that is not Jesus condemning you. Yeah, but I sinned. I know he's condemning me because he hates sin. He does hate sin. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's condemning. Let's look at it like this. I know I've used this illustration before, but if you take a test and I'm your teacher, and let's say Jesus is your teacher, okay? And you take a test and you flunk, right? And you put an F. You get an F on the test. Was the teacher condemning you or just telling you you got it wrong? What if he just marked one X? Like you said that Abraham Lincoln was the first president of the United States, and he wasn't. It was George Washington. And so the Jesus marks that X. You got that wrong. Is he condemning you or is he just saying you've got it wrong? Which is it? And Jesus is saying, no, even when I tell you you're wrong, in fact, he's going about to tell her she's wrong. It's not from condemnation. This is true. I remember back in Genesis, where when Cain brought the wrong sacrifice, and it says that basically he was condemned and his countenance fell. But it wasn't God doing the condemning, it was himself, because God actually responds and says, why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be received? In other words, when he told him he was wrong, he wasn't condemning him. He was just saying it's wrong. And so when somebody that loves you says what you're doing is wrong, don't sit there and shout, "You're condemning me," because they might not be. That might be just the fact that your own conscience is pricking you that they're right. You are wrong. Now, on the other side of it, there's people that condemn us and say, "You're just a dog. You're nothing but a dog. You sinner. You terrible person." Yeah, they're trying to condemn you. And I would reject that out of hand, because that is not Jesus. Condemnation is not of God. And you'll be able to tell, because when somebody condemns you, it's like you're in a hole and they just start throwing dirt on you rather than offering you a ladder. There's another thing. There's nothing wrong with saying to this person, "Hey, you're in a hole, but I'll help you out. Hey, you're in a hole, but deliverance is available." That's not condemnation. It's another thing to say, "You dug this hole. You're in this hole. I'm not helping you out with this hole. Just you sinner, you hole digger, you." That's condemnation. And if people are treating you that way, understand that's not Jesus. That is not who he is. Now, we've got more to say this, and I'll pick this up here on Monday. But I need to talk to you about today is offering day on the broadcast. Listen, some of you might have been holding on to your tithes and stuff because you thought God was against you and wouldn't receive it anyway. Now, let me be clear. Unless you're a member of our church, one of our churches, and even then, I want your tithe to go into whatever local church it is. I haven't made that as clear as I should. Please do not, unless you are a minister and you're tithing from your church, or you as a minister are tithing here because you regard this as part of your feeding, that's okay. But if you're the member of a local church, please, please do not send your tithe here. Please put your tithe into your local church. But your offerings do two things. They increase your income and they increase the fruit that we are able to reach out into the world to. And so I'm asking you to consider giving into this ministry. One, because if you give, God has something to multiply. And I know we talk about this, but in addition to that, it also makes sure that when you get to heaven, that your reward is bountiful. And I want that for you. And it makes every person touched by this broadcast, if this has changed your life, think about how many other lives this is being changed. If this has taught you and encouraged you, think about how many other people that's true of. Wouldn't you like to be the person responsible for having these revelations come into the lives of people? Wouldn't you like to be the one responsible for people being able to put materials into people's hands, and for us to be able to provide the gospel absolutely free? That when we go to churches and we don't ask them for anything, you're the one that makes that possible. Therefore, with God, you are the one that gets credit for the change in that church. So I'm asking you to become a partner today. I'm asking you to give into this ministry, even if it's just, you know, $25 a month. That's not even a dollar a day, but you can change the world for $25 a month. You can be part of us changing the world together. Listen to Michael. He's going to explain to you how easy it is to give.
All of us here at Kurt Owen Ministries are excited about you taking advantage of the opportunity to become a part of something that is so much bigger than any one person. Simply text the term KOM Partner to the number 44321. Then simply put in your name and the amount that you want to give. Once again, simply text the words KOM Partner to the number 44321. Your gift will have a life-changing impact on people around the world. Kurt Owen sincerely desires that fruit abounds to your account. Your return and your reward will be now in this time and eternal. Text KOM Partner to 44321 and help Kurt Owen change the world. Tune in the same time every weekday for a continuation of the teaching, Knowing and Believing, the Love of God with Kurt Owen.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future.